are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me next week and every week to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. A little bit about me. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Coming up on today's show, as promised, we're going to do our Friday mailbag. So thank you so much to everyone who put out questions on Twitter. And we're also going to incorporate something new today, which is some audio from when I went live on the Locker Room app. I didn't give you guys much of a heads up, but that's going to be a weekly thing. We'll either be doing mailbags or we'll be going live during games or pregame or postgame. I have yet to figure out the exact schedule, but it will be every week. So be sure to download the app. You can join me there live. So I did that today and we did some Q&A and some conversation. So that is going to be incorporated at the end of today's show. But I'm going to answer some questions now that were not talked about on the Locker Room app. So the first thing I want to talk about is this question from Aaron, who asks, how concerning is the defense and how long should the Giants wait until they need to make a move to address it? Outside of Longoria at third and Belt at first, there are average and below average defenders all around the diamond. So this has been a hot topic on Giants Twitter, at least in our little community, the last couple of days, and so I thought it was a fun one to kick us off today. It's definitely a little bit of a concern. I'm not going to deny that the Giants have some defensive deficiencies. However, I do think it's being a little bit overblown. Like, I don't recall people getting this worked up when the Giants had Travis Ishikawa in the outfield or Aubrey Huff in the outfield, Pat Burrell. This team had Denard Span and Angel Pagan as their center fielder for like 6 years straight. So suddenly when we've got, you know, Donovan Solano playing some second base, I just don't think that the wheels are going to completely fall off. I would say Alex Dickerson is way better than probably Pat Burrell and Aubrey Huff and Travis Ishikawa. Certainly Ishikawa, who was dreadful out there, and he was starting in World Series games. I am not as concerned as others. And you know this because we had a long Twitter conversation today about it. But I just have to dispute that outside of Longoria and Belt, they have average and below average defenders. I'm assuming you were just kind of not talking about the catcher position because there's no way. Posey is still a really good defensive catcher. And, you know, Belt and Longoria are way above average. And so right there, you've got your catcher, first base, third base. You got three really above average defenders. And then Crawford at shortstop, we've gone back and forth on Twitter, not you and I, Aaron, but me and some others, about Crawford. And he is at least average, I would say, at this point. He's definitely declined, but he, you know, we've looked at outs above average, defensive runs saved, ultimate zone rating. These are kind of some of the newer age defensive metrics. And they all use different methodologies. Outs above average uses StatCast data, kind of looks at where you started, where you ended up, and compares you to other players and did you make those plays. So I think that's kind of my favorite. It still, I think, is a work in progress to some extent, but Crawford rates well by outs above average. Had a rougher year in 2019 by his standards, but in 18 and 20, he rated well. So I think you still have at least an average shortstop in Crawford. And then I think Mike Yastrzemski is a good right fielder. And I think Mauricio Dubon has the tools to be an excellent defensive center fielder, and you could even argue that he was last year. There were some dropped balls. There was a couple of rough plays against the A's, but otherwise, okay, so I realize I'm kind of like overselling them. They have really good defenders, but they definitely have concerns. Like I said, Alex Dickerson is not a great defender. Darren Ruff is, you know, average at best. And Donovan Solano and Wilmer Flores and new guy Tommy La Stella are not the best defensive players either. So there's going to, no team is perfect. I think the Giants are probably ultimately going to be a below average defensive team, but I also don't think that it's just some complete dumpster fire and they're going to be totally, completely, and utterly humiliated on defense all year. I think this stemmed from a spring training game where Donovan Solano made a throwing error, and I just think that we are overreacting to that. I want to remind everyone that Donovan Solano played with the Giants like in most of the 2019 season, and none of this was really an issue in that year. The defensive stuff for Solano happened in 2020, and he really struggled, especially to start the year. And so, I don't know, I'm just kind of weighing both of those years. There was some good, there's been some bad. I just don't think he's quite as bad as we've made him out to be. Definitely not the most comfortable feeling when a ground ball gets hit to him in a big spot, but, you know, he really hits, and so he makes up for it. And then to go off some other points that have been made, they do have issues if Longoria can't play third. Like, I'm not clear exactly how well Tommy La Stella will be able to handle third. We saw that Solano and Flores had big problems trying to play third. And then if Crawford were to get hurt, then Dubon moves to shortstop. He's the only kind of true, and he's not even maybe a true shortstop, but the best option they have there, and he's a bit shaky there from what we've seen in a limited sample. And then that would move someone else to center. So there's definitely scenarios where it could get even dicier, but I think like as is right now, they've got some quality defenders still across the diamond, and I think this is a little bit overblown on the whole. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing, and baseball is less than 2 weeks away. If betting on sports isn't your thing, or you just want to expand your horizons, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. I talked about how I would take the over on the Giants' win total at 75.5. I think that's, you know, pretty safe, honestly. So anyway, head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Next, I want to tell you about something that's really cool. It is the Locker Room app. It's a live audio-only sports talk platform that we're going to be doing once a week. It's perfect for watch parties, post-game breakdowns, or live mailbags, which is what we're going to actually feature today because I did my first one today. If you join a conversation with me, you'll have a chance to be featured on Locked On Giants. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group. Follow me at Ben Caspic to be notified when my room goes live. We'll be going on Locker Room once a week. The date and time exactly is TBD, but at least once a week, and it'll probably be at a regularly scheduled time. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, I realize that first question took up a lot of our time. I'll try to get to more here in this segment. And then after that, we're going to, for the very first time, put in some audio from the Locker Room app. I had a conversation today with some listeners who jumped on and we had a back and forth. So it was really great. And I'll get to some of the questions that you asked on Twitter that were answered live on the Locker Room app. Pasquale asks, there's much confusion about what kind of team we are now. We have never been considered rebuilding because of the presence of veterans. We are not contenders because of the division rivals better on paper. Who are we now? A possible underdog for the last spot in the NL wildcard? And I think that's exactly right. A possible underdog. I talked to Millard Thomas of Locked On D-backs, and I thought he categorized it or characterized it really well when he said the Giants are going to be feisty. And I just think that, yeah, the Giants, if they're going to have a good season or like if they're going to accomplish what they want to accomplish, that's what it's going to be, is that they're going to be feisty. They're going to be a team that is tough on opponents, even if they don't necessarily end up with some kind of great record. And we saw this last year. That is pretty much what they did last year. So hopefully they can be like that, but pitch a little better. That's like the one thing. But they were tough. I mean, they dealt some teams some blows, and they also had some really huge kind of walk-off, come-from-behind type of wins last year. So yeah, they're not on paper on par with the Dodgers and the Padres in the division, but they're not rebuilding. But they do have, in my opinion, a strong and clear direction that they're going in. And they're not just like in limbo, one of those teams that's kind of stuck in the middle. That's pretty much the situation they were in before Farhan Zaidi was brought in. But at this point, I would say they're firmly on that upward trajectory, and they figure to be a team that is a pest for other teams to play. And I ultimately think that they could surprise some people in the wildcard race in 2021. Matt asks, looking ahead to next offseason, is the expected number of, quote, holes to fill a legit concern? I've heard slash read from fans slash beat writers about the number of expected free agents. With another year of development in the farm system, coupled with how active the team has been in free agency, the Giants should be well positioned to plug holes via free agency or trade, i.e. prospect currency. And then part two of the question is, what is your personal power ranking of next year's shortstop free agent class, assuming fair market value? So that's really interesting, assuming the contract. But to answer the first question, yeah, I'm with you that I'm not as concerned about them having all these holes. It's like, this is their job and they are good at their jobs based on track record. So for us to be like, whoa, they can't handle it, or like, I'm worried that they're not going to be able to handle it, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they have plans in place for how they're going to address the potential holes. It is a shocking number of potential departures. Like the entire starting rotation, Gausman, DeSclafani, Wood, Cueto, Aaron Sanchez, all of them are set to reach free agency. That's crazy in and of itself. But then you're also looking at Posey, Belt, Crawford, Solano. That's mostly it. I'm hitting on the main ones there, but that is a crazy number of potential departures. But I just trust that they're going to be able to bring some guys back. Posey seems to want to be back. I think they'll have interest in bringing Belt back. The starting rotation, it's going to be interesting to see how they fill it. But the thing is, too, that we have an entire season to play. And so you don't know, we don't know what is going to happen and who might emerge. Some prospects may come up and, you know, claim a spot. Maybe Logan Webb has a great season. And then you're like, okay, well, definitely he's in the rotation. Tyler Beede is coming back from Tommy John. Maybe he has a good season and you say he's in the rotation. And then maybe you quickly bring back Kevin Gausman and then you've got three guys right there. And then maybe a position player or two establishes themselves and grabs onto a role. It's not a crazy thing to think because that has happened with this team recently. I mean, it's like going into 2019, we had zero clue that Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, and Donovan Solano would emerge as like three of the best players on the Giants. They were not in anybody's 2020 plans ahead of the 2019 season as fans, you know? So we need to just kind of let the season play out. A lot happens over the course of 162. So, but yeah, I mean, they're going to have a ton of money to spend also. So I don't think that they're putting all their eggs in one basket and saying, we are just totally reliant on spending, filling the roster through free agency next offseason. That wouldn't be very smart. But, you know, free agency figures to be a big part of what they do next offseason because they have the cash to do it. So time will tell. It is going to be interesting. There's no doubt about that. But the kind of fear that I've sensed from some, I just think it's too early for that. We can deal with that if those nightmare scenarios play out, which I think is unlikely. So number two, my personal power ranking of next year's shortstop free agent class, assuming fair market value. That's tough. I all along I've kind of zeroed in on Corey Seager. This guy had an unbelievable 2020. He had a couple of down years dealing with some injuries. The one concern I have about Seager is his size. Like, as he gets older, I don't think that he's going to be able to stick at shortstop, or at least I have doubts about that, because he's tall and big. Carlos Correa is also pretty big, and he's going to be a free agent. I probably have Seager number one and then Lindor number two. I have some question marks about Lindor's bat. You know, Brandon Crawford was a better offensive player in 2020 than Francisco Lindor. I know it was a short year, but Lindor is not like a, you know, perennial 30 to 50% above average hitter. He's had some mediocre-ish years at the plate, but he's so good defensively and he's such a great personality that I think, you know, and he's a switch hitter, great defender. I think he's a star player, but I would probably prefer the offensive upside of a Seager ahead of him. Number three, I'll probably go Trevor Story. He may even be number two for me. I have concerns about, you know, his numbers against right-handed pitching, but he's a great defensive player and a stud offensively. There's just, I don't have his numbers pulled up right now, but, you know, just on based on memory, I think he's a lot better against lefties. Number four, I'll go with Carlos Correa. Love Carlos Correa, you know, before the cheating stuff. So I don't know how much of what he was able to do was real and how much wasn't. But the problem with Correa is he just can't stay healthy. But if he's healthy, he could be as high as number one on this list. And then number five, I'm going to go with Javier Baez. Definite concerns offensively. Had a really rough 2020, you know, little bit wild free swinger. I'd prefer someone a little more disciplined, and I'm sure the Giants would too. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. How are we going to do that? Well, it's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is caramel brownie versus double chocolate. Both are great options in my opinion, but caramel brownie to me, I love brownie and I love caramel, so I've got to go with caramel brownie. Go to BuiltBar.com or follow them on Twitter to vote on today's matchup. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of the Giants. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts. All right, so in this final segment, we are going to play some audio from my time today, or I guess yesterday, on the Locker Room app. I think that there was an issue with my audio. I know you don't need to hear the long story, but my audio sounds worse than anybody's, and that shouldn't be the case because they were using phones and I was using a special microphone. So I think it's because I did it a certain way, but in the future, the audio should sound better on my end. So anyway, if you want to be a part of these conversations, you can follow me on the Locker Room app at Ben Caspick, and I'll be doing them every week, and we'll probably incorporate them into the shows. Maybe not. It's not a requirement for me. I just thought it would be fun to do that. So without further delay, here's some audio from my time on Thursday on the Locker Room app.
He's a really interesting case, and the question is from David Sanchez, does Bosler make the opening day roster? And I mean, I think the answer is no, unless there's an injury, and there could be an injury. Like we're looking at Evan Longoria, who I don't think he's played in the field all spring. And the one thing that makes me say no for Bosler, even if Longoria is injured, is that the Giants open the season at the Mariners, who feature all these left-handed starting pitchers. And so I don't think Bosler would crack a lineup even if Evan Longoria was on the injured list, because all the starters are going to be left-handed. But if Longoria can't go, speaking to what we were talking about with defense, what is the defense going to look like if Evan Longoria starts the season on the injured list and the Giants are wanting to put out a right-handed lineup? That would force them into a situation where like Wilmer Flores or Donovan Solano may have to play third base, and then the other one would have to play second base if you don't want LaStella starting, which is a question. I do not know if they're going to platoon LaStella and not have him start against lefties. And then you also need a first baseman, and that would probably be Darren Ruff, I guess, in that scenario. And then maybe Austin Slater in left, Dubon in center, and Yastrzemski in right. But then you would have Solano and Flores at third and second. And that's exactly how it started out in 2020. And that was what was so ugly. So defensively against lefties, they kind of do really want Evan Longoria in there. You know, his numbers against left-handed pitchers have actually been okay. It's the production against righties that hurt them. And so in terms of Bosler, I think, you know, watching him in spring and hearing what they have to say about him, I think he'll get an opportunity this year. And he's like, you know, possibly the favorite to have a breakout type of season at this point, I would say. So
yeah,
we could keep going. Covert, yeah, what do you want to say about that?
Oh, well, I was actually going to comment on how you talked about, like, what will, you know, will Bosler be on the opening day roster? And I agree that he will get a chance this year. I don't think they're going to waste the 40-man spot just for someone they think is going to be in the minors all year. Because you can see that the organization really values the 40-man roster spots. And with all the moves they've done sort of in 2019, that frenzy of like May and June where there were where things were just happening left and right. It was a new guy, you know, almost every day and stuff like that. And maybe that's an extreme. But speaking of the opening day roster, the opening day roster for 2021, and this is my guess, and you can let me know if you agree or not, is the best lineup that's built to take on the Mariners for those first three games, and with an eye to the Padres, which is, I believe, the series like right after, and after like a day off or something, right? Like the opening day roster is no longer the 25 best players that you have in your organization, you know, who are ready for a major league play. It's going to be built to kind of built around that first series, and moves are going to be made a day or two, or sometimes the day of, when a new series and a new sort of pitcher is going to be available. So, you know, if I think the Padres are relatively pretty much all righties, I think, aside unless they magically have Mackenzie Gore start the year, I think they're all righties and they're all actually Blake Snell's a lefty. How am I forgetting that?
I forgot for a second he was there. Man, that's going to be tough facing them.
Yeah, I was thinking like Lamet, you know, Lamet, Clevenger's out. But you know, Darvish. It's going to be, Darvish. They're like mostly right-handers. So it's going to be kind of like the lefties are going to come up around that day off, or maybe the very day that that we head to San Diego for that very first, yeah, we do head to San Diego for sure. When it comes to like reading into the opening day roster, it's not, oh, like Joe McCarthy is a good player. It's no, because, well, I guess last year, you know, because of the injury. But it's like, this is the best roster that we have available to take on the Dodgers in 2020. And Joe McCarthy was the best positional fit. And in terms of platoon splits, you know, he projected to be the best. Obviously, it didn't happen. But don't, like, I guess the message would be, don't read into, oh, we think Joe McCarthy is a better player than like whoever else, Joey Bart or whatever.
That's exactly right. And it's a great point. And it's one I wish like everybody knew, because it creates a lot of confusion. And I've been saying this for weeks. I think people are going to be confused come opening day, when all of a sudden, like, Dickerson's not in the lineup. La Stella may not even be in the lineup. I would imagine, actually, I'm certain Yastrzemski will be in the lineup. If Brandon Belt is healthy, he may not be in the lineup. So people are going to be like, what the heck is this? What is Gabe Kapler doing? I get those types of questions all the time. And you're right. Like, they're going to build their roster based on how to attack a series. And so that, yeah, Vossler, I don't think makes it because of that. Lamont Wade Jr. probably doesn't make it because of that. And same with Steven Duggar. And speaking of last year, if you recall, it was supposed to be Clayton Kershaw, I think, making the opening day start. And then they scratched him the day of the game. And they ended up going with Dustin May to start the game. And so the Giants were going to have a totally different lineup. And then they go with Dustin May. And it hurt the Giants. And it forced them to put Joe McCarthy out there. And people were wondering, like, why isn't Austin Slater in there? He was doing so well, you know, in the previous couple exhibition games against the A's. But it had everything to do with the matchup. And then later in the game, you're going to get that at bat from Slater when that tough lefty comes in, and you don't want McCarthy facing them. So that being said, I think that they've built their lineup in such a way that it is going to be really dangerous. And I actually think that the Giants, you know, I'm not sure they've won an opening day game in a while. I could be misremembering that, but this is like my
2018. That was when Joe Panic hit one home run off of Kershaw, and that was
right.
That was the whole score. It was tie block,
right, and
shutout innings, and then just Hunter Strickland was on the roster, sealing the deal.
Right, that was a crazy game, and then the next day, it was the same story. Joe Panic hit the solo home run off Kenley Jansen, and they won 1-0 again. Two straight 1-0 games. It was the first time, only time in Major League history that's ever happened.
All right, that is all the time we have for today. There were so many questions that I didn't get to. I really apologize for that. I went too long answering some of them. So we're going to keep these, and we'll do a mailbag at some point early next week. Probably not on Monday, but maybe on Tuesday. So everyone who submitted questions, I will get to a lot more of them on Tuesday, so please come back for that. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Have a great weekend. I can't wait to be with you again on Monday. So until then, we'll see you next time.